Good morning, welcome to Emmett Audio. It's super windy this morning. We're in a bit of a lull right now, but it was so windy a minute ago that I thought I wouldn't record because I figured it would be too loud. But the gust has passed, and I wanted to talk today about spring cleaning. On Saturday, it was an overcast but warm enough and dry day that I did a bunch of projects around the yard. And one of the main things that I did was take an extra load to the dump that was a bunch of debris. So rotten sections of 2x, lumber, some rotten pallets, and then a bunch of old fencing and other metal recycling to go into that dumpster. And I cleaned up this area that, frankly, has had stuff lying on it since we moved in 8 years ago. And all of this is part of this ongoing project to rebuild some of the infrastructure that I built years ago that now needs to be updated. Much of this infrastructure was very quickly built. The next thing I'm going to be rebuilding is the structure we call the tarp barn, which is I built originally when we moved in as a way of being able to store stacks of Christmas trees at home and keep them out from under the snow. It was literally a rough-sawn 2x4 frame, just higgledy-piggledy tossed together with literally a canvas tarp on it as a roof. And that lasted for years until maybe 2 years ago I put a metal roof on, but at this point it's ready for an update. For years I used it as the place that I was gonna store, that I stored all the logs that I salvaged that I turned into spoon blanks and spoons for people, but since I've started buying loads of logs the last 2 years, they come in at the other end of my property because that's where the truck can get in and dump them. And so I don't actually use this tarp barn for what it has been used for at all anymore. Now, it still has a role, but it's not well suited for the role that I need it to play now, which is to store all the canvas tarps that I use at the Christmas tree farm and some other stuff related to that, and then to store the random offcuts of lumber that I accumulate in between projects. And so with that in mind, let's turn around. With that in mind, I'm going to be rebuilding it next month. All of which is going to do a lot to clean up the feeling of our property. It's definitely the most grungy part of our property. And, you know, there's a tremendous release of energy that comes when you get rid of the stuff that's been hanging around. And you pour some energy into a space that needs revitalizing. And one of the things that I think is so important, I learned this from this book called A Pattern Language, which if you haven't looked it up, it's one of my favorite books of all time. It's this idea of site repair, which is that if you're going to do some new thing on the site, if you're going to try and, you know, build the new shed that's going to actually meet your needs, that you should do so in a way where you are also ripping down the old thing and reclaiming that space. And maybe you rebuild the new thing on that space. Maybe you build the new thing on the part of land that needs the most energy put into it to make it nice. Because if you think about it, the temptation is to build the new thing on the nice, easy spot and to avoid the cost of tearing down the old thing. And you can do that for a while, but it starts to accumulate on you. And farms around here are full of examples of this, where the farmers built the new thing, didn't tear down the old thing. The old thing basically starts to collapse to the point where it's no longer safe to tear it down. And then they have all of this space and just they have all of this space that's basically full of these rotting, falling down structures that they're not even using anymore. They can't repair them. They can't afford to tear them down. And it becomes this cycle that repeats itself. Because once you have several of these on your property, it becomes an enormous and expensive task to replace them or to actually clean them up. So it's exactly the case that you're kicking that problem down the road for later you or whoever comes after you. And neither of those situations is good, because you're leaving a huge mess for somebody else or for yourself later on, but also because you have to live with that stuck energy from here on out. And by energy, I don't mean some woo-woo thing. I just mean, like, you have to live with the sight of that rot and decay and that burden in your eyes all the time. And this is the thing about, you know, the pile of rotten pallets on the edge of the woods that I dealt with. It was there. I could see it. Every time I pulled in and got out of the truck and looked back, I could see that it was there. And that has a cost. It has a cost of, you're not living in as much beauty as you could be. And it has a cost of, it reminds you that you didn't complete this thing that you should have completed. Actually, you know, cleaned up the thing fully. It also reinforces this sense of yourself, of someone who, you know, kind of has these sorts of messes lying around. And this sort of thing tends to be associated with poverty. Probably everywhere in the world, but certainly around where I am in rural New England. You know, people, the poorer they are, the more junk they accumulate in their yards and in their houses. And I don't think it's which is the chicken, which is the egg. Certainly, when you're poor, you don't have the resources to have somebody else do the thing for you. But also, I do believe that starting to accumulate things like that, having, well, being a hoarder of things, or just not cleaning up your messes, is a mindset that has ramifications for your life in terms of your success professionally. You know, if you're the sort of person that doesn't fully clean up messes that exist, that doesn't make things just better, make things as good as they possibly could be in the physical world, well, you're never going to do that in your business. And you're never going to do that in all sorts of ways. I used to not like the saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything, because it felt like it wasn't true in my life. I wanted to say, that's not true, you know. I can do this thing really well and this thing not so well, and that's just my unique strength. But I think the truth of that statement, holy shit, it's windy. Damn. Come on, dogs, let's go. Let's get out of here. This is like pre-falling, kind of windy. All right, hold on, I gotta get the dogs in the car. Come on, Willa, hop in. Good girl. Maisie! Come on, come here, come here. I got you. Come on, in you go. All right. Let's get the heck out of Dodge. So, you know, the problem with that kind of thinking is that it doesn't take into account the fact that I actually think there's a lot of wisdom in this statement, because it can express a lot of nuance. It's not simply that someone who fusses over the details is better, right? I don't fuss over the details. I would say a better analogy is this idea that I came across in a book called Norwegian Wood, which is all about how people handle their firewood in Norway. And there's some saying in Norwegian that
You can tell the type of man from his wood stack. So, you know, first of all, is it a stack? Is it in a wood shed? Have they taken the time to build a wood shed? What does the wood shed tell you about you? What type of, you know, how bedraggled is the stack? How neat is the stack? How careful is it? And what I like about it is that it's not, I would argue that, you know, the it's not simply a gradient from bad to better. The person who is most precise in their wood stack, those are, you know, we can all agree that somebody who is overly persnickety about things might be the person you want designing a rocket, but that's going to come with a cost. And so it's just about trade-offs, right? Whereas the person who's happy to have the firewood in a in a pile in the yard all year, they're not the person you want designing a rocket, but they might be the person that you want to handle some other situation that requires a more laid-back attitude. And so it takes all types, and I think the thing about cleaning up messes in your physical environment, whether it's just dealing with the dishes in the sink or cleaning up the rotting pallets on the edge of the woods, is that it doesn't need to be perfect, what you do, but that kind of energy put into improving your life has ramifications for the rest of your life as well. And whether it has ramifications because of some spiritual connectedness of all things or energetic release or something, or whether it's simply that that felt good and then you do the next little thing and you're more likely to do the next thing after that, I don't know. But I do find that putting energy into the things in my life, whether they're physical or not physical, it tends to yield more energy for me than I put in. And it is embarrassing how long I can live with something and how brief an amount of time and effort it takes to make it better. Yesterday, I had my older daughter wipe off a sort of built-in, top of a built-in bookcase that's right below a windowsill. So it's essentially a wide windowsill. There were a bunch of houseplants on, and there had been a bunch of dirt that came out of the houseplants and been on that windowsill for, well, I don't remember the last time it got cleaned. And I had her just go get, you know, a wet rag and a dry rag and wipe it down and dry it off and put the things back. It took her literally 2 minutes, and it looks amazing. It looks so much better than it did. And here we had been living with that for a year or more, and it took 2 minutes. So that's the sort of thing I'm thinking about. See, I'm getting out of the truck right now, and I'm looking back at where those pallets used to be, and it does my heart good to not see them. And I think in a month's time, when this tarp barn has been torn down and rebuilt, that whole space will feel revitalized. Thank you for listening. Talk tomorrow.